Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to the Red, White, and Rude, where I talk about the intersectionality of culture and politics. Today, we're roasting woke fails like Sydney Sweeney's jeans ad that only offended 12% of Americans. Disney forgetting Star Wars is for 12-year-olds. The Toronto International Film Festival cowardly backtracking on an October 7th documentary on Hamas, and other stories of note that are not only shaping our culture, but our politics too. But before we begin, do not forget to give me a thumbs up and share this podcast at the end of it. Also, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that out of the way, my friends, let's get rude. So poll shows overwhelmingly approval for Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle ad amid the backlash we all saw the past few weeks. So a YouGov poll reveals that only a small minority of Americans view actress Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle jeans ad as offensive. And that's obviously contrasting with vocal social media criticism. In the August 9/11/2025 survey of 1,635 U.S. adults, only 12% found the ad offensive, while 39% called it clever and 4% don't know. Sydney Sweeney has jeans, and it garnered stronger support from males, obviously. 57% found it clever that were Republican men, while 22% of Democrat men found it clever. And 45% overall from adult men age 18 to 29. I got to be honest here. I've always wondered what percentage of Democrat men are pajama boys. Well, now we know 78%. So, social media backlash also included claims of the ad being fascist propaganda and Nazi propaganda. You know, fascism is defined as authoritarian ideology marked by dictatorial power, suppression of dissent, and aggressive nationalism, often elevating the state or leader above individual rights. Obama was elevated above individual rights. Biden as well. Suppression of dissent, the mainstream media, they condemned us who questioned the COVID vaccine. They condemned us they condemned us in terms of the Russia hoax. They suppressed our voice. Obama ruled like a dictator. Trump is actually going through Congress and using executive order, and he's being challenged in courts, and the courts are finding what he's doing legal. He's not doing anything dictatorial. The courts supported everything Obama did and pushed hard. Why? Because they're activist courts. We have seen activism. Check out my Fired Up episodes where I talk in depth and in detail with specific examples as well as legal analysis as to why it's an authoritarian court. So my point being is fascism falls more under the Democrat side than it does anything conservative or Republican. Then there's Nazi propaganda, and that's a systematic campaign by Hitler's regime to manipulate public opinion, the leftist mainstream media in our case, using fear, myth, and mass media, and they've used all three of those to demagogue anything conservative. They glorify Aryan supremacy. Now, hear me out. Remember with all the minorities this, minorities that, they need to be elevated, this. And I remember then when The Late Show became open, well, they went to Stephen Colbert. The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon. Then you got Jimmy Kimmel over at ABC. They were pushing minority voices and telling everybody else to elevate them. But when the Democrats had their opportunity, they chose not to. Joe Biden is the guy who got actually elected. The only reason we got Kamala is because they were stuck in a corner. Biden dropped out. They had nobody. The VP was a second natural person to go to. They didn't like her. They didn't want her. They were going to go towards a convention battle. And then Biden says, screw you for screwing me. I endorse Kamala. And who's going to say no to a black woman? So it had nothing to do with their want of her. They were stuck with her. So when people talk to me about that, I'm like, look at your own party. Look at the policies that they say are helping blacks and Latinos. They are not. The data proves them right. Where is their Planned Parenthood? On every black corner. And Planned Parenthood's founder is a eugenics who says blacks are like weeds and you must control them. So when y'all talk about glorifying Aryan, when you actually dig below the surface, not at what they're trying to say, you see the reality of it. And then there's the demonizing of Jews. That's right now the Democrat Party. They are so anti-Israel, so anti-Jew. They were supporting Jew exclusion zones at UCLA and other schools. So this propaganda that they call Nazi propaganda, the Democrats fall under that more than any conservative ever will. And then there's the manufacturing consent for war and genocide. Who's all about Ukraine? Those are Democrats and rhinos, not conservatives. All right, I just had to point that out. You know, the reality, getting a reality check in there. So American Eagle defended the campaign on Instagram, emphasizing it celebrates individual confidence and genes without political intent. And I think it did. I think this blew up in the face of progressives and Democrats who wanted to make an issue out of it, and American Eagle profited from it. I mean, so this is, it's what I call classic backlash boomerang that ends up helping the product. In fact, American Eagle's Instagram follower, they've exploded. But it also shines a light on a lot of this deeper nonsense. You know, and the positive of it is we're turning the corner on woke nonsense, that fake victimhood nonsense, and it's fading, just like the dodo bird. In fact, some polls are showing America's dialing back on all of it. And don't forget, it will creep back if we don't keep pushing for real equality. And that's Americans first. I am Latino. I'm proud of my culture. I have relatives who are your traditional brown, black. We're all Americans first. We're not brown first. We're not white first. We're not black first. We're Americans first. We're not Catholics first. We're not Muslims first. We're not Buddhists first. We're Americans first. And merit over everything, meaning our accomplishments, what we can do over everything. That's how you determine somebody's worth. Not this phony compassion that sidelines qualified people based on race, gender, or whatever. This country's built for anyone to win big, not for politically correct tribal wars that keep us at your throats and you at our throats. And we must stick to core American values of equality and meritocracy that will achieve the American dream for those willing to work hard. That's what it boils down to. You work hard, and the odds of you achieving that American dream exponentially rise. If not, we're going to rot from inside, and we're going to wind up like Europe. They're stagnant with creativity. They really haven't invented anything of note the last 50, 60 years. The economy is not quite in shambles, but close to it. And they're being overtaken by outside forces. Do not forget, we must keep fighting. All right. George Lucas. Star Wars is for 12-year-old boys, but Disney forgot. So George Lucas created Star Wars as a fun, heroic space adventure, and it was primarily aimed at 12-year-old boys. That was my demographic when it came out in 77. He was into emphasizing themes of friendship, heroism, good versus evil, and adventurous storytelling. His goal was always to inspire young audiences, especially during tough times. So in 2018, during the production of Solo, a Star Wars story, he was talking to Ron Howard. He told Ron Howard, hey, focus on appealing to 12-year-old boys. Give them exciting, straightforward tales. Now, let's backtrack the 6 years earlier. In 2012, Disney bought Lucasfilms for $4 billion. George Lucas sold out. It's not to it. Not good or bad, but it's a fact. And Disney appointed as close to a feminazi as you can get in Kathleen Kennedy as president. And it led to a shift that emphasized wokeness in the name of inclusion of everything but male Anglos over traditional heroism. So everything that wasn't white male was welcome in the name of diversity and inclusion, and we don't care about heroism. We're going to define our own version of heroism. The Last Jedi, centered on female protagonist Rey, while critiquing male heroes, it alienated the fans, it had mixed reception, and the final movie was considered subpar in quality and financial return. Wait a minute, it almost hit a billion. It needed a hit, and it did make a profit. You don't spend nearly $1 billion, or however much they spent on that, $250-300 million on that movie, and you need nearly $1 billion to make a profit. You don't spend that much to make a sliver of a profit. And that's why it was deemed a failure. And that's why you didn't get the people to go see it 2 or 3 times. When Star Wars came out, kids saw it 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times over and over and over. So it was deemed a failure from that perspective. Then there was The Acolyte, came out in 2024. And that was created by Leslie Headland, who hates everything male, especially white males. And she incorporated an all-female witch coven with pride themes, sparking backlash for prioritizing DEI over core audience appeal. Now, I said white, but it's also strong. It's just a strong male, whether you're a strong black male, strong Latino. Their idea of a strong black male is Don Lemon. Their idea of a strong Latino is John Leguizamo. These are what you call pajama girls. So it's not just white males. It's anything male, in a sense. And, again, with Acolyte, all-female witch coven with pride themes. Look, Disney totally dropped the ball by swapping out Lucas's core vision. What was that core vision? Again, epic adventures, unbreakable friendships, and classic good versus evil heroism. Instead, they went for all this woke agenda pushing, forced diversity, LGBTQ storylines, and social lectures that had nothing to do with what 12-year-old boys crave. And by blaming and alienating that foundational audience, the kids who made Star Wars what it is, they created a massive mess. Look, they turned a timeless galaxy of fun into, I don't know, divisive garbage that's eroding the franchise's soul. Disney needs to pivot back to these pure entertainment roots, or they're going to destroy one of Hollywood's greatest creations forever. Look, the reality and key point here is that you as parents, you as adults, you must shield your kids, your nephews, your grandkids from this indoctrination crap. Because while Lucas aimed to spark imagination and joy, Disney now all about shoving lefty messages, shoving them down our throats, undermining our role in guiding these kids through the real life complexity of what it is to be straight, gay, transgender, etc. Conversations the parents should have, they're trying to take that and they're using these shows to indoctrinate your child. So watch what your kids, nephews, nieces, grandkids are watching. TIFF backtracks on canceling October 7th documentary over alleged Hamas copyright claim. So what is TIFF? TIFF is a Toronto International Film Festival, and they're attempting to reverse its cancellation of a documentary depicting the Hamas terror attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023. Why? Because of all the backlash they received. They initially canceled the film, citing potential copyright claims by Hamas on footage of its murders. This, despite the fact there's no legal basis in Western courts, as the footage is public record, and it was broadcast by Hamas for psychological warfare. Retired IDF Major General Noam Thibon. He's a hero that's featured in the documentary who rescued his family during the attack. Well, he righteously and rightfully slammed the cancellation decision. Now, the TIFF CEO, Cameron Bailey, issued a public apology. I believe it was on X. And then he stated the festival's legal team would work with filmmakers to address remaining issues and potentially reinstate the screening. He's lying. They can reinstate it right away. There is no copyright issue. It was a made-up claim to bar the film for anti-Semitist reasons. Look, the anti-Semitism aimed at Israel and Jews these days is off the charts. It's the worst I've witnessed in my life. This TIFF mess, just another way to bury the real horrors Hamas and Palestinians unleash on Israel. Over and over and over. Look, I've seen it, and there's video out there decades old. My first time I saw it was over 30 years ago when 60 Minutes did actual investigative work. And what did I see? A film showing young kids, 3, 4, 5, getting brainwashed from day one to see Jews as vermin that needs to be wiped out. I saw one just a few months ago from a Jewish documentarian who went into Gaza and said he was from Italian media. And they all said Jews are nothing but cockroaches that need to be exterminated. It's no secret they're not chasing peace. They've had opportunity after opportunity for peace. They're gunning for Israel's total destruction, genocide. Look, at the same time, Western nations are forcing Israel to play nice with enemies, whether it's Hamas, Hezbollah. And they do it under some twisted logic of compassion. All this does is drag out the endless cycles of violence. Meaning, they make peace 10, 15 years later, they do this again. And the bombing continues. That's why they're so poor there. All the food, the money given to help the people, they turn it into weapons and violence and terrorism. Israel is finally pushing back and saying enough. And they should have done this at least 2 decades ago. Let me inform you guys something. There was a man has a resume of peace-building initiatives, diplomatic leadership. He's the United Arab Emirates Abdullah bin Zayed. And he commands global respect. Why? For architecting the Abraham Accords, steering multilateral diplomacy, meaning bringing various parties of different nationalities, ethnic groups, cultures, bringing them together. And he's also positioned the Emirates as a strategic force in regional stability, as well as economic innovation. And he warned us in 2017, he warned the West that ignoring extremism would breed radicals and terrorists right in our backyards. And we're living that nightmare now in Europe, and it's coming to America. This faux compassion is a product of literally one of the best marketing campaigns ever created to create an enemy of Israel while supporting the actual terrorists in Hamas and others. So unless we begin to acknowledge these ugly truths, we will rue the day as Zayed's words become more and more prophetic. All right. So let me show you guys. We got, if you can see right below here, we have our QR code. Click on that. And there's a coffee mug there. I'm looking at this. And there's QR codes. And I thought there was a way. Here we go. I wanted to make it a little bigger for you. I love the cup. I got this cup right here. Mine's white and it's only 12 ounces. In fact, I've already ordered my own, and we're selling them at cost right now. Trying to spread the gospel of Grumbly's Media, but that's a classic Grumbly Media coffee mug. Take a gander at it. I'll keep it up there for a few seconds there, a few minutes there for you to get the code. Swipe it via your iPhones or whatever one you use. Okay, moving on. Mixed celebrity responses to Trump's 2025 Kennedy Center honors. So President Donald Trump, he announced the 48th Kennedy Center honors with the honorees who they were August 13th, just last week, and it sparked contrasting reactions, to say the least. So Tom Cruise is being honored. He declined an invitation to receive a Kennedy Center honor. He cites scheduling conflicts, and that's been reported by multiple Kennedy Center employees of the Washington Post. Other honorees include Ambassador to Hollywood, designated by Trump, Sylvester Stallone. George Strait, he's a great rock country singer. Michael Crawford, he's an actor. I believe he did Phantom of the Opera. Kiss, the group Kiss. And their heyday was the 70s, 80s, and Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. One hit wonder, but that song really struck a chord and has become part of American lore. Now, a bigot that's on The View, Ana Navarro, Señorita Pipon, look it up, it's a Spanish term, Pipon! That is what Ana Navarro is. She urged Gaynor to reject the award over Trump's involvement. It's kind of funny. Gloria Gaynor was a one-hit wonder. This is her life, this song. And to be honored like this for this song, it's a rarity. It's not like she's one of these, it's not like she's Elvis. You know, it's not like she's Led Zeppelin, you know, The Temptations or Michael Jackson, like one of these who had a hit after hit after hit. This is one of her one hit. And Navarro's saying, don't do it. You know, put yourself aside for my greater good. That's what La Pipon is saying. However, Gaynor shared the White House announcement on Instagram, expressing hope her music, I Will Survive, would inspire unity globally. It's a strong song for women to be strong. Now, KISS members Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, and Peter Criss, they expressed their deep gratitude for the honor. Simmons calling KISS the embodiment of the American dream, and Stanley noting it affirms hard work pays off. Now, Stanley previously criticized Trump in 2020 as incendiary and abhorrent, but Stanley's rich. He has no clue what's happening in working class or doesn't care enough and went with ideology and jumping on the bandwagon of hate. And why is he pissed? Well, election claims. Well, we're slowly finding out all these conspiracy theories, there's truth to them. For the record, I have documented on Fired Up voter fraud from the founding of our country up to this past election where people getting charged and sent to jail. And Stanley accused him of fanning terrorists as well with the armed insurrection. It wasn't an armed insurrection. It was one death by a racist cop against a petite white woman. So just stop with that nonsense. As a Latino, I will call it out. Now, Frehley supported Trump in 2020. Frehley supported Trump in 2020, and Simmons praised him in the past. And look, most of the KISS crew besides Paul Stanley has backed Trump at some point and understand what Trump's doing and what encompasses American dream. And that's what they specifically talked of when they announced their gratitude, as I said. Simmons especially, as his mother's a Holocaust survivor. His mother's Flora Klein. She endured multiple Nazi concentration camps, including Ravensbrück, Wendelsburg, and Mauthausen. And she was liberated at age 19 in 1945. There's nobody who can imagine what she went through. Nobody. Outside of a fellow Holocaust victim. My issue with Tom Cruise is that he's probably just dodging this to avoid the politics. He's trying to play neutral. But man, this award is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. He should have cleared his schedule no matter what. He's letting the political BS call the shots. And trust me, he'll regret that down the line. And let's keep it real. Outside of his Mission Impossible hits and that epic, patriotic Top Gun revival, most of his flicks since the turn of the century have tanked or barely scraped by on cause. Don't believe me? Look at the returns on The Mummy, Edge of Tomorrow, American Made, Oblivion, Night and Day, and Jack Reacher. And the one-world blockbuster Top Gun Maverick? That's straight-up MAGA. And way more Trump than anything progressive. For whatever he's got left in the Hollywood tank, blowing off this honor isn't just dumb. It's a fumble. He'll kick himself over down the road. But regardless, all these people epitomize the American dream and should attend regardless of who's POTUS. All right. Jussie Smollett blames Chicago police and Rahm Emanuel for its 2019 hate crime hoax. All right, so actor Jussie Smollett is coming back in the news because he's part of a new reality show. So he's out on the campaign trail, and he denies staging a 2019 hate crime attack on himself. Instead, he's accusing Chicago police and former mayor Rahm Emanuel. They are the villains. So January 19th, just to remind the audience, Smollett reported being assaulted in downtown Chicago by two men who used homophobic slurs. The thought of MAGA in Chicago is a laugher unto itself. That town's so blue, it's not going to be purple for at least another 50 years. And he's saying these two people, individuals, shouted, "This is MAGA country," and tied a noose around his neck. Well, he lied, and he was charged for filing a false report. But Kim Fox dropped that. And that sparked outrage from the Chicago Police Department and Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And it was a clear racial decision that did nothing but create further tribalism. And hey, look, to my fellow black Americans, as a Latino, as an American, we've got to come together. Because all Kim Fox did was create further divide and hate, because we all knew he was lying. The evidence was clear at that point. And because of his skin color, if this is shades of the Jim Crow laws and the Democrats and what they did to black Americans. It's just the opposite now. So instead of them not convicting Anglos who mistreated blacks, Democrat white people who mistreated blacks, lynched them, they would let them go. That's what they did here with Jesse Smollett. So a special prosecutor was convened, and he convicted Smollett in 2022 on 5 felony disorderly conduct counts, sentenced him to 150 days in jail. And it also led to a $130,000 city lawsuit that was settled with $60,000 in donations Smollett made to charities in the name of Chicago Police Department. Then in 2024, the Illinois Supreme Court overturned Smollett's convictions on Fifth Amendment grounds. Not the evidence, Fifth Amendment grounds. However, he lies and claims this proves his innocence. The special prosecutor has come out, Dan Webb, and accurately noted it did not address the trial evidence or the guilty verdict. It was a procedural reason they threw it out. Now, Smollett claims that CPD and Emanuel is distracting from the 2014 Laquan McDonald police shooting, insisting his story remains unchanged. My take, the truth is crystal clear here. Smollett totally staged that hoax, with the Nigerian brothers laying out every detail and even reenacting it for the cops. There's no real evidence has ever backed his story, and yeah, the Illinois Supreme Court tossed the conviction purely on the legal technicality over that broken non-prosecution deal. Actually, this is just like Pennsylvania's High Court freeing Bill Cosby because the prosecution violated his due process by reneging on an earlier promise not to charge him. It doesn't erase the facts. Smollett lied, sparked a fake race scandal, and he's still trapped in his own delusion, refusing to learn or admit any wrongdoing. Kind of makes you wonder about his mental stability deep down. Regardless, we can't accept this lie because by doing that, all it does is create an opening for more race hoaxes to continue. Wilfred Riley, he's a black academic, he documented in his book, Hate Crime Hoax, over 400 cases from roughly the 2010 to 2018. Since then, that number has likely doubled because the race hoaxes really escalated under Trump. There was like literally one every week, it seemed like. Now, Jesse Smollett's fabrication is one of the most infamous. So, yes, the truth shall set us free. And until we minorities, para mi Latinos out there, as well as my fellow black Americans, until we look in the mirror and realize hate is top and racism is within everyone, I fear we may not move forward as a nation. Well, that and Democrats pushing race to help keep us divided as they accumulate wealth and power. We've taken our eye off the ball by keeping the elites in power accountable. Instead, we're blaming Whitey. And all that's going to do is create a greater divide. So we must end that. We must look in the mirror. We must come together as Americans, regardless of our race, color, creed, religion, whatever that saying is. Joe Rogan renews criticism of ICE raids targeting illegal immigrants. All right, so podcast host Joe Rogan expressed strong opposition to ICE raids on illegal immigrants. And he did this during August, just last week. It was one of his podcasts, and it had Representative Ana Paulina Luna arguing that ICE was unfairly targeting low-wage workers. Rogan claimed raids provoked public outrage by detaining hardworking individuals at sites like Home Depot, stating people expected ICE to focus on gang members, not landscapers. He referenced perceived overreach in pulling migrants from schools, though ICE avoids these actions, and acknowledged Luna's claims of Chinese-funded protests was a big reason for creating the perception that Americans did not want this. But he's still Joe Rogan, and he's still an elitist mentality. He's out of touch with the working class, the poor. But why? Because he was echoing the criticisms of insane workplace raids. And he drew praise from, obviously, MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski and other elitists. Yeah, the polls show otherwise. Over 60% of public support. And that's a high up from 80-some-odd% that Trump got elected with. So the media is being able to work its magic, but not good enough. We've seen the truth. My take, man, Jogan's way off base here. Look, he's a podcaster who's loaded with millions and millions of viewers. But he's clueless. These raids are straight out of Trump's 2024 campaign playbook for mass deportations. It's what he said he was going to do. And that landscape he's all sentimental about, they're tanking the industry. Why? They undercut wages with illegal crews or they go solo on the cheap. What they've done is they've pushed law-abiding Americans out of jobs. And what they've done is suppress the pay of the industry where Americans can't afford to do those jobs. Then when things go south, landscape can be dangerous in terms of injuries. They go to the emergency room with their injuries, rack up ER bills that we end up having to foot because ERs can't turn anybody down. So they don't have the money to pay. We taxpayers foot the bill. Remove the illegals. That whole industry will bounce back and those spots will fill in with citizens. That, not only that, but kids will also take these jobs in the summer and they're going to learn responsibility and accountability. And that's gone to the wayside. And why we get a lot of entitled, overweight, and video game-driven kids playing right now. They're not out learning responsibility or accountability. I'm not being silly. This is one of thousands of types of jobs they could have to learn responsibility and accountability. Plus, these illegals' cash flows, that's untaxed, it goes to their home countries via remittances. Think bypassing U.S. taxes via Western Union. Payroll taxes that Democrats say they pay, well, that's pretty much mostly, if not all, from stolen Social Security numbers. And then lefties always say, hey, they pay more in taxes than other groups. Those taxes are like on sales taxes, you know, things like that. When they go buy something, those taxes, they're not taxes from their work. And let's be honest, these folks broke the law crossing in. My partner, Big John, says, oh, that's not illegal. Oh, hell yeah, it's illegal. You cross the border illegally, that's a crime. And they're destroying our social services infrastructure. Just look at California, tens of billions of taxpayers funded help for illegals only. And that number is growing yearly, and that's us footing the bill. Remember Springfield, Ohio, the Haitian surge? They destroyed the city's social service resources. Then there's New York City's 5 billion plus migrant tab, heading to 10 billion by this year's end. Rogan also lied. There were criminals in that Home Depot. Some with possible cartel ties, they said. And they're not going into schools with kids. Rogan's just he's a buffoon for falling for the propaganda. Do your own research. And when he makes those comments without the data to back it up, look it up yourself because you're going to find, as I did, because I documented these numbers in various fired up shows, do your own research and not be the fool like he is. And remember, popularity does not equal intelligence. Hey, here's my favorite swag shirt. Latinos for Trump. ¿Quién es más macho? Trump es el más macho. Who's more macho? Trump is. I mean, Trump, Obama, come on. It's like a guy versus a girl. Oops, let me keep that up for a second there. You can tag it there with a QR code and help support us, our fledgling company. Greg Gutfeld's Tonight Show interview sparks major ratings surge. So Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show experienced a big bump in the ratings because it was hosted Greg Gutfeld. It made big news, so obviously Greg Gutfeld's fans were going to attend or watch it. And what this did, though, is show the appeal for diversity with late-night guests. And that's amid the declining viewership for these progressive shows hosted by obviously progressive hosts. This appearance was August 7th. It drew 1.7 million, a 57% increase over the 2025 average of 1.1 million. It was the strongest regular episode for Fallon's show since December of 2023, over a year and a half ago. It also attracted nearly 300,000 viewers in the 25 to 54 demo, which is the demo advertisers want. Up 13% from the yearly average. It was a lighthearted segment in terms of Greg Gutfeld talked about how they met. They were wasted. You can tell Jimmy Fallon was a little embarrassed, but he did his job as a host very well. Ironically, that night, Gutfeld's own show was guest hosted by Kat Timpf, pulled in 2.7 million viewers. It still outperformed Fallon's show, outperforming NBC, CBS, and ABC. Now, this is a cable show where they don't have the free audience that ABC, CBS, and NBC have with their late shows. Now, a media research center study found 99% of political guests at major late night shows in early 2025 were liberals, with Stephen Colbert, 29 liberals, 0 conservatives. And the year before, Liz Cheney does not count as a conservative. My take, look, go woke, go broke nails it for these late night shows, drowning in their leftist political ideology. So the Gutfeld gig proves when you bring on guests Americans actually want to hear from, people will tune in. We don't want the mess of politics in late night. We want to laugh. Sometimes when I finish working, my wife goes, hey, what do you watch? I go, something to laugh. But when you're pushing lies, hate, and slapping conspiracy theorists on anyone questioning your ideology, it doesn't work out in the long run. Russia hoax, COVID origins, just 2 of dozens. You're not going to just bleed viewers. You're going to get canceled. They're just fueling all this tribal crap, and they don't care. And what makes it worse is their bosses should have cared. I mean, it took CBS finally being sold, and while they made a decision, to can exit because Skydance was, didn't want anything to do with that show. And they needed to help push the sale forward. CanX seeing the show that's bleeding 40 million, 40 to 50 million a year was a necessity. Come on, guys. Y'all got to mix it up with interesting people from everywhere. Roast both sides of the aisle. Ditch the agenda pushing. And you might actually pull some audience back. Late night's dying from woke elitism and hate stirring us up against each other. That's a tragedy. Because maybe without that, it could be thriving and surviving. All right, the U.S. drinking rate hits record low amid rising health concerns. I'm pulling this down here, people. Please support us and buy one. All right, so Gallup's latest poll shows U.S. alcohol consumption is dropping to historic lows as more Americans view even moderate drinking as harmful to health. The adult drinking rate fell 54% in 2025. That's down from 58% in 2024 and 62% in 2023. Wow. That's an 8% drop in 2 years. And that's the lowest it's been in nearly 90 years of tracking. 53% of Americans believe moderate drinking is bad. And that's up from 45%. That's 8% there too from in 1 year. That's 45% is from last year. And it's reversing prior views of potential benefits. Hey, a glass of wine here is kind of healthy. That's gone away. So drinkers average about 3 drinks per week. That's the lowest recorded. 40% not drinking in over a week. And there are concerns among young adults, women, and Republicans too. Now, and I guess that's the constituents that drink. I don't know on that final part, but there's more concern among them than normal. But these declines align with recent research indicating there is no safe alcohol level. And that's really shifted with the 18 to 34-year-olds, 50% of the drinking rate. What's my take? This makes me realize my college days were right in the thick of one of the booziest eras of recent history. Rates were pushing 65% or higher. I remember it was a keg party, multiple keg parties. It was a drunk fest. Look, alcohol is always going to stick around, and these trends feel pretty cyclical to me. But think about it. How much fatter and obese would our kids be today if drinking stayed at those levels? All those empty calories adding up. Look, I'm not totally sold that it's just health concerns driving this. It's other drugs haven't budged much, and weed has actually spiked. So we probably need more data and another generation or two raised in this high-tech saturated market, or world rather, to see how all of this shakes out. But look, less booze doesn't bother me at all. Too much booze has landed me personally in hot water way too many times, so I call it a big win. And maybe this could quietly bolster family values and personal disciplines and lead to stronger relationships within the family unit. And more importantly, curbing the domestic abuse that's tied to alcohol issues. I witnessed that too many times throughout my time in the military. So maybe it's not a good, maybe it's not a bad thing. And with that, that's my show, my friends. Before we go, make sure you hit like or thumbs up and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify with the profile Grumblings Media. Until next week, this is William Del Pilar for the Red, White, and Rude. Stay safe and let me know your comments. Or I'm sorry, let me know your thoughts in the comments.